So we're in this little series. This is week four of getting to know the Holy Spirit. And we started by talking about the introduction that Jesus gives us to the Holy Spirit, that the best way sometimes to meet people is have someone you know and trust introduce them. Because sometimes with the Holy Spirit, we get a little bit weird, because some of the people who are into the Holy Spirit can be a little bit weird. But Jesus introduces us to the Holy Spirit. Before he went back to heaven, he said, I will send you a helper. I will send you another counselor. And remember that word allos for another? Another just like me. In other words, the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. We don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus, except he is a spirit and he lives in us and he can be everywhere at once, whereas Jesus was restricted to one place at one time by being in a physical body. So the Holy Spirit rests upon us, but he also lives in us. And we saw that we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is a he, not an it. So often for years when I was talking about the Holy Spirit, I said it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus always used the word he when he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And we talked about what we call the grace. Remember at the end of 2 Corinthians, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Fellowship means communion, means relationship, means friendship, means conversation. All of that, the Holy Spirit wants to know you, and he wants to be known by you. He wants a friendship with you. And we talked then about baptism and being immersed in the Holy Spirit. And here's really where we landed in that, that being baptized in the Holy Spirit isn't about you having more of the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit having more of you. And I love that. I came up with that myself, and that's why I love it. But I've been looking for language, because I don't like the idea of getting more of the Holy Spirit, because he's a person. But it's actually about you living in greater submission and surrender to the Holy Spirit. That you say, all of me. That you surrender all. That you open up your whole heart, your whole life, every room, every place, every space, and say, Holy Spirit, I surrender all to you. Would you come and just saturate me with your presence? And if we're thinking about friendship and we're thinking about relationship with the Holy Spirit, and then we talked about gifts last week and miracles and healing and all of that. But if we're thinking about friendship and relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's two-way. And a friendship always has communication. How do you know when the friendship has maybe got a little bit fraught? You get the silent treatment. Couples, married couples, how do you know when you've maybe just said something or done something wrong? You get the silent treatment. The Holy Spirit wants to be your friend. He wants to communicate with you, and he wants you to communicate with him. It's a two-way thing. And that's what we're going to be thinking about today. We're going to be thinking about hearing God speak. Now, when we talk about hearing God, sometimes people think God's weird. They think that people who hear voices should be locked up. And in some cases, that might be true. But we serve a God who speaks. We serve a God who wants to communicate with his people. And this has been so important to me right throughout my Christian walk. I have an old Bible here that I got just shortly after I became a Christian. I became a Christian in 1990. And about 2 years later, over the period of about 2 years, I began to, it just seemed like everywhere I go, people would start to say, I feel God saying to you, Craig. And in the back of this Bible, I started to write them down. And I don't know if you can, but the first one is September 1992. Then October 92. Half of you weren't born back then. But I look at this one, October 92. God is going to use, now I've been a Christian for 2 years at this stage. I'm, fifth form or lower sixth in the college. God is going to use you in leading people, and others are going to be influenced by your actions, however you must walk into God's calling. And the name beside that is Chris Mercer. There was a couple called Chris and Gary. Now, Chris was for Christine, just in case, okay? In case you think, goodness me, in case the Baptists are in the room or anything like that. And we knew the Church of Ireland was like that. a couple called Chris and Gary came to St. Mark's in Portadown to do a week of mission, and Chris or Christine. I remember one night we were in a little room in the parochial hall praying, and she sensed that God wanted to speak this word to me. And you know what the amazing thing was? About a year and a half ago, through some of the stuff I do online, I got an email from Chris Mercer, and she didn't know that. And I said, are you the same by any chance? Is there a Gary, and did you come to Portadown 30 years ago? And she said, yes. And I said, you prophesied over me that God was going to... And she was blown away. She'd totally forgotten about that 30 years ago. And it continued for the next 2 years. Just it felt like everywhere I went, God began to speak. And that really helped clarify the calling on my life. So that's why the prophetic is so important to me. That's why I hold it in such high regard, because at a time when I really couldn't have imagined ever doing what I'm doing, God began to redirect me and influence me and move me towards my calling in life. And that's just not for me. I believe that God wants to speak to all of us. I really do. I believe that God wants to speak to every Christian, and he wants to speak through every Christian. And so that's what we're going to be thinking about, hearing God's voice. And we're going to be asking, does God speak today? How does God speak? And how can we get better at hearing him? I read somewhere recently, and I don't know if this is true, but I read it so, that an average woman speak 20,000 words a day, whereas men only speak about 7,000. Well, listen, don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot. And who was shouting out about it not being true? You just use 10 of your 20,000. I think the men might actually have no problem with believing that. But women, yeah, on average, 20,000, men, 7,000. I don't know. That's an average. You're going to get me in trouble. Notice my wife's not here. She's at home. She's got a bit of a chest infection. That's why I'm being a big, brave, bold boy today. Huh? Hope she's not watching the live stream. But whatever the number is, we as humans were created to communicate. We were made for connection. We were formed for friendship. It is innate. From the moment we are born, noises start coming and we're trying to communicate and we spend the rest of our lives communicating with each other. And that shouldn't surprise us, because we're made in the image and likeness of a God who is very communicative. When you think back to the very first chapters of the Bible in Genesis, when God was creating, how did he create the heavens and the earth? And God said, let there be. And God said, and God said, and God said. And then he made Adam and Eve in his own image and likeness. And it was, this is a revelation I kind of had recently. It was their default setting to hear God's voice. Like, they didn't find it weird when God spoke to them in the garden. It wasn't like, where's that voice coming from, Eve? They conversed with him. They spoke to him, and he spoke to them, and it was their default setting that as humans, we were created to hear God, and he wants to speak to us. That is the way we're wired. We were wired to hear. We are his children, made in his image and likeness, and he longs to communicate. Now, we know that the fall damaged that, the fall distanced that, but God never stopped speaking. Even after Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden and sin infected and affected the whole world, God never stopped speaking, because he wanted his children to come home. And so we see that through the Old Testament. God speaks through the prophets. God speaks through angels. God speaks in many and through signs and wonders and miracles. God even speaks through a donkey at one stage. If God can't, you say God can't speak through you. If God can speak through a donkey, he can probably speak through you. He speaks through rainbows. He speaks through a burning bush. God wants to communicate in every way he can. And then ultimately the prophets began to talk about a day when we would hear God more clearly. And that everything shifted with the coming of Jesus Christ. God's greatest revelation is in the person of Jesus. The word became flesh, as John 1 says, and dwelt among us. Hebrews 1 says, God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament, many in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. So the greatest revelation of God is Jesus. But God is a God who is incredibly chatty. He is incredibly communicative. God wants to speak to you more than you probably have realized and more than you probably want to listen. And I think that is so important for us to understand as we come to hearing God's voice and the whole thing of the prophetic. That it's not that we're trying to twist God's arm for a word from God. It's not that we have to get all intense, like I said a minute ago, and, you know, we have to have worship music in the background, otherwise God can't speak, and we have to have the ambiance just right. God wants to speak to you. He loves to speak to you. Psalm 139 says this: "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand." I remember when I first met Bex, everywhere I went, I would be thinking about her. I'd be talking about her, you know. I would be in church, and I would be thinking about her. I'd be doing weddings, and I'd be thinking about her. And we were for the first 2 months, we didn't go on a date. We just emailed each other or Beboed each other every day. That sounds ruder than it is. It was like a prelude to Facebook back in the day. We Beboed each other twice, three times a day, and I couldn't wait to get home and see what Becky had written to me and what she'd had for dinner that night and all this exciting stuff. I have a full book of these Bebo messages. She printed them all out. I have no idea where it is. But I couldn't wait, and everywhere I went, I was thinking about her. I was talking about her. You know, people would say, "Do you want a polo mint?" And I'd say, "Becky drives a polo." And it was just like, you know, it was just like every opportunity. But imagine every time I thought about Becky or talked about her, even over the last 15 years since we've been together, I took a grain of sand and dropped it in a bowl. A grain of sand and dropped it. Even with all the thoughts I've had, the bowl wouldn't be that full. Where the Bible says that the thoughts that God has about every one of you outnumber all the grains of sand. Beaches, deserts, golf course bunkers for some of you. Okay? God is you're always on his mind. He is thinking so many thoughts about you. And so when we talk about hearing God's voice, it is literally getting one of those grains of sand. It is literally tuning in to the heartbeat of God. What he's thinking about you. Another way, and this isn't a perfect illustration, but, you know, right around us right now, there's radio waves. There's radio waves and signals all around us, but we have to tune into them. They're there, but unless we tune into them, we miss them. God is thinking about you all the time, and he's got stuff that he's trying to say to you, but most of the time our lives are too busy and our lives are too noisy, and we don't hear him. But if you will still yourself, if you will be intentional, and if you will understand that God is always speaking, you will discover that God wants to speak to you. And every Christian can hear God's voice. There's this fallacy out there that there's certain Christians who are gifted. Yes, there are certain people who are prophets, and that's a whole different category. But every Christian can hear God's voice. You don't have to be a preacher or a pastor. You don't have to be a prophet. In fact, it is your birthright as a child of God, as a blood-bought son or daughter of God, to hear his voice. Look at what Jesus says in John 10. Let's read a few verses from John 10. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber." This is where I want to get to. "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice." Now, Jesus is talking about himself as the shepherd here. "The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him." Why? Because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Jesus is saying that the qualification to hear his voice is that you have to be a sheep. And if you're a Christian, you're one of his sheep. I'm not going to make you go bah, okay? But if you are a Christian, you are a sheep. You're part of his flock. You're part of his family. And you can hear his voice. And it says the sheep hear his voice and the sheep obey his voice and the sheep know his voice. You hear, you know, you obey. That is your birthright as a blood-bought child of God. It is absolutely essential that you understand that you are created to hear God's voice and that he wants to speak to you. It's not about giftedness, it's about relationship. You know, from the moment Elijah was born, I talked to him. There should be a photo there. There should be a photo there of, look at that. Huh? Look how young we both look there. That was only a month ago. No, that's what hope does. No, but my point is this. From the moment he was born, I spoke to him, and he couldn't understand a word I was saying. But I didn't hold off and go, I'm going to wait until he's 10 before I converse with him. I just spoke love over him. I told him how wonderful he was. I told him how much I loved him from the moment he was born, even though he couldn't understand a thing. But over time, as he got older, and as I kept speaking, he understood more and more and more. And then he began to talk back, and that's a whole other thing. But it's the same with God. Even when you don't understand, you don't have to be a Christian for 6 years or 20 years. From the moment you're born again, God begins. In fact, let me tell you this, the fact that you're born again means that you can hear God's voice, because you wouldn't have got saved if you didn't hear his voice. The fact that you received Christ, you repented and turned from sin, meant that you heard God's voice and you didn't harden your heart. But from the moment you receive Christ, you're a child of God, and that entitles you to hear his voice. You might not always understand it. You might not comprehend everything that he's saying to you, but he's going to keep speaking. And like me with my own son, the longer you spend in relationship with God, the more you begin to understand his voice, the more you begin to discern what he's saying. You know, when I hear Elijah's voice, or when I shout Elijah, he doesn't go, who's that? He recognizes my voice because I'm his father. You know, when you get a call from someone you know and love, you don't have to go, I wonder who that is. Sorry, who's that? Because you know their voice. And over time, we begin to develop an understanding that this is God and he's speaking to me. And we grow in our ability to hear his voice. In John 16, Jesus said this, there's much more I want to tell you, but you can't handle it now. You can't bear it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. The Holy Spirit will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. So if Jesus was in the room right now, you would probably want to go and talk to him, I would hope. You would want to converse with him. You would want to have a conversation. You would want to ask him some things. The Holy Spirit is the one who, when you have questions, when there's things you need to know, the Holy Spirit is the one who goes to Jesus and then comes to you and tells you what Jesus would say. That's what Jesus says, sir. He will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to reveal to you things you don't know. He wants to lead you, guide you, and direct you. It's such a privilege to be able to hear God's voice. You know, in the Old Testament, only certain people like prophets or whatever could hear God. But now it is the right of every Christian to hear God. In fact, one of the prophets in the Old Testament said this, and then Peter quoted it in the day of Pentecost. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on some people, all people. Just the men will prophesy? No, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Just the young people? No. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I've started having more dreams than visions recently, actually. Maybe that's something. In those days, that's these days. Those days are these days. That's what Peter says in Acts 2. Those days are these days. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Prophesy means that you hear God's voice and that you tell it to other people. That is the mark of God's people in these last days, that we are a people who the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us, and as part of receiving the Spirit of God, we have dreams, we have visions, we hear God's voice, and we communicate God's heart to other people. We, as the church, are meant to be a prophetic people. people, not a pathetic people, but a prophetic people. We're not called to be politically correct, but prophetically direct in our culture. The Bible says we are a prophetic people who express the mind, will, heart of God in our time. And God isn't sexist. He says men and women will both hear his voice. They will both prophesy. He's not ageist. It says young and old. And he doesn't care what class you are. He talks about servants. A little girl at 5 can hear God's voice just as much as a Christian who's been following God for 50 years. In fact, sometimes children hear God's voice easier. Some of you will have experienced that. A child comes out with something and you're like, how did you? It's because they don't have the barriers and the blockages that sometimes we have as kids, as adults. As kids, you know, that's why Jesus said, become like a little child to receive the kingdom of God. So what I've tried to establish in this first part, and there's not loads left, so don't panic, but our God is a God who speaks. And as Christians, as children of God, he wants to speak to us. It is our birthright to hear God. It is our birthright to hear God. Everything that was broken at the fall when Adam and Eve sinned was undone by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross and rose again. Eden, the relationship that was broken at Eden, has been restored through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are declared righteous in his sight, and there's no barrier between us and God. So the question isn't, can I hear God's voice? The question is, how does God speak to me? But let's first of all look at 1 Corinthians 14. Jamie, I think, touched on 1 Corinthians 14 last week. I want to look at it again here just for a moment or two before I get into the last part of what I want to say here. Because Paul here is writing to a church in Corinth about prophecy. Now, like I said, prophecy is hearing God's voice and then expressing to others what God has communicated, okay? And we can all do that. So Paul's talking to the church, and they loved the spiritual gifts. They loved tongues. They loved prophecy. They were really into this stuff. And Paul says to them this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Remember we talked about that prayer language, that it's not for other people, but you're talking to God. And indeed, no one understands them. They're uttering mysteries in their spirit. The Holy Spirit is praying through you. But the one who prophesies speaks to people. Why? To forecast the future? To be a fortune teller? To reveal all their sins? No. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Strengthening, this is really important, folks. Prophecy, hearing God and sharing what he says with others is primarily for strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. In other words, praying in tongues builds you up spiritually. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. And I've entitled this part, It's Not About Me. At the heart of prophecy is not about me having some super spiritual experience where I get to bask in God's glory and get all these revelations and hear his voice. No, at the heart of prophecy, Paul says, are three words: strengthening, encouragement, comfort. At the heart of prophecy is strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Strengthening means building up. When you share something that you sense God saying to someone, it should build them up. Another word for that is edify. It builds up their faith. It confirms their calling. It strengthens their relationship with God. It draws them closer to God. It draws them closer to other believers. It gives them clarity about what God might be saying. It calls out the treasure hidden in the jar of clay. Remember Paul said that in 2 Corinthians? We all have this treasure in jars of clay. When I look at you, I can see the clay jar. And when you look at yourself, you can see the clay jar. Do you know what the prophetic does? It calls out the treasure. It speaks to the treasure within the clay jar. It starts to call out the deposit that God has placed within people that maybe they can't see themselves and that others can't see. But as God begins to speak it, it begins to come to the surface. Strengthening, encouraging. encouraging or exhortation. It just means to stir things up. We all get a bit flat. We all lose our way a little bit. We all wander a little bit. We all feel a bit down at times. We just run out of steam sometimes. The prophetic can start to stir things up. When God speaks to you through somebody else, it reignites that fire within you. It makes you realize God knows me, God loves me, God sees me. It gives you encouragement not to give in to sin. It emboldens you. It brings fresh hope to the church, to the believer. And then the third one is comfort, consolation. We all have tough times. We all go through grief and loss and pain. And we need comfort. And the prophetic speaks into our wounds. The prophetic speaks into those broken places in our lives. The prophetic speaks God's healing and God's hope. It reminds us that our current condition is not our permanent place. That the way things are today are not the way they're always going to be. That God sees our hearts and he reminds us that he knows us and he loves us, but that he has more for us. That this is not the way it's always going to be. It doesn't make the pain go away, but it can bring fresh hope that there is a future. Just this week, I was online doing a little mentorship group, and a few of you were on it, and Jamie was on it, and I just picked a random person at the end to prophesy over. And all I had was their first name on the screen. I can't even remember what their first name was. And then I found out they were from Los Angeles. And so that was all I had. But as I asked the Holy Spirit, what do you want? Let's call her Gina. What do you want to say to Gina? And the Holy Spirit then began to draw my attention to certain things. And there was a fan over her shoulder. And I felt like the Lord wanted to give her a second wind. And that's what I felt the Lord was showing me. He wanted to breathe fresh life. Then there was a little, I thought it was a miniature guitar. Apparently it was a ukulele over her shoulder as well. And I began to get something about God giving her song back, that she'd lost her song over the years, and that God was going to give her song back, okay? And then as I began to say that, I began to talk about a bird. I talked about a songbird, and I kept going on about a bird, okay? And I talked about a lot of other stuff, and at the end I just went, did any of this mean anything? And she said, Craig, all of it did. She said, I was in church, I was in ministry, I haven't been doing it for a year and a half. I left, and I just have been feeling dry, and I could do with a fresh wind. But she said this, the church that I had been working at, there's a child has cancer, and I was part of a prayer group a few weeks ago online for the child, and I said, God, I was praying that God would give the child their song back, and God spoke to me and said, I'm going to give you your song back. And then even more than that, she said, and you kept talking about a bird, do you know what my surname is? Blackbird. I mean, I was just like speechless, like. But it was just this moment of God saying, I see you. I see you and I know you. And that could be any of us. I knew nothing about her, but the Holy Spirit knew everything about her. And as I was just trying to discern what he wanted to say to her, it brought strength, it brought encouragement, and it brought comfort. I remember when I would, around the time I was actually starting to receive these prophecies back in, it's probably about 15, 16. I'd been a Christian for a year or two. I was at Portland College, and I was on the SU committee, the Scripture Union committee. And we had quite a big SU. There was about one in every five of the pupils went to the SU in Portland College. And as someone on the committee, it was our job to invite guest speakers. And I remember at one stage, we got word that a guest speaker couldn't come at the last minute. And we all kind of sat and looked at each other. Should we cancel the meeting? What should we do? And I don't know what came over me in the moment of madness, but I said, I'll speak. And the other five people on the committee looked at me like, really? And in my head, I'm like, really? But I said, I'll speak. Now, I had never really spoken before. I got very nervous in front of people. I always shook, even like doing a Bible reading anywhere. But I said I would speak. And a few days later, I got up and I fumbled my way through this absolute disaster of, I wouldn't even call it a talk. I don't know what it was, but I just fumbled and sort of stuttered my way through some talk, and I was mortified and I was embarrassed, and I sat down at the end, and during the last song, I was just like, God, I never want to do that ever again. And at the end of the meeting, everybody was leaving, and I was stacking the chairs, one, to look servant-hearted, and two, just to avoid having conversations with people because of the car crash that had just happened in the room that they'd all witnessed as I talked. And as I got to the end of it, Mr. Grant, the economics teacher, said, "Craig, could I have a word with you?" And I thought, flip it. I know it was bad. I didn't think it was that bad. And he said, "Could you come into my room for a moment?" And I went into his room, and he said, "Craig, as you were up there speaking, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me." And he said this, that the Lord has called you to preach his word. And if you will immerse yourself in his word, and if you will ground yourself in his word, he will use you to preach his word to many people. And in that moment, it was just this strengthening, this encouragement, and this comfort. At that moment, he had no idea. It was like water to a thirsty soul. He is partly responsible. He had no, he just was literally, it was a prompting. And 34 years later, 33 years later, whatever it is, here I am. Actually, a number of years ago, probably about 7, 8 years ago, I told that story when we were up at the Causeway Coast. And his sister was in the congregation, and she called him afterwards and told him. And he couldn't remember a word of it. But the fact that he was able to speak encouragement, strengthening, and comfort. And you can do the same. How often do you think about somebody out of the blue and you think, you know what, I should give them a wee call, or I should have a quiet word with them and just give them a wee word of it. And you don't do it because you don't want to intrude, or you feel silly, or you think, that's not God, that's just me. He could have done that day and things could have looked very different. But he was obedient. He heard, he sensed, he felt God speak to him, and he was willing to take the risk and share it with me. Little did he know that 32 years later I would be standing here in Craigavon telling you what Mr. Grant said in the economics room of Portadown College. So can I encourage you, when you get those little nudges, if your heart is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort, why don't you just share it? Even if you get it a little bit wrong, you know what? They'll still be uplifted if it's encouraging. As I finish, I just want to talk for a few moments about how do you hear God's voice? How do you hear God's voice? You know, I talk to people I love differently than I talk to other people. And I talk to Becky differently than I talk to Elijah, differently than I talk to you, because they're each different and distinct and unique. And you're different, some of you more than others, and you're distinct, and you've got your own quirks and your own personality. And so the way God speaks to you will not necessarily be the way he speaks to somebody else. Because I think one of the traps we fall into is comparison, where we say, look at how God speaks to Craig. I don't hear God like that, therefore I mustn't hear him. You won't hear him like I hear him. You will hear him how you hear him. Because you're his child, he loves you, you're different, you're distinct, you're unique, and that's how he will speak to you. And look, back to what we read earlier, he calls his own sheep by name. And it says, I know my sheep. He sees you individually, he knows you by name, and he speaks to you individually. Now the primary way, and I need to say this, and I'm always going to say this, the primary way we hear God is through this book, okay? God's final authority and absolute revelation are the scriptures. And anything else he communicates will never contradict his word. Never. So if somebody comes to you and says, God spoke to me and told me to leave my wife, that wasn't God speaking. That was the other team speaking, okay? If somebody comes and says something heretical, something that's opposite to the word, something that contradicts the word of God, ignore it. God will never go against his own word. His own word is final and authoritative. So let me make that absolutely clear. Any other prophetic word, any other revelation, anything else we hear comes under the word of God. And if it doesn't align with God's word, we reject it immediately. Let's just make that clear. But there are ways that God speaks to us today. And sometimes it is through illuminating a word. Sometimes a verse of scripture will almost jump off the page. It could be something you've heard 1,000 times. But in terms of how you hear God, there's 4 main ways. And I want to finish up with this today, because I think this can be really, really helpful for knowing how you primarily hear God. And there's 4 ways. The 4 ways are this: knowers, hearers, feelers, and seers. Knowers, hearers, feelers, and seers. A knower is someone who just knows. Not a know-it-all, but it's someone who... Do you ever just know something and you don't know how you know it, but you know it and you know her? Like you just... Some of you know it. It's like a light bulb goes off, or you just... Like, you just... There's a house and you just know that's your house. Like, you've been looking at houses for a while. You've been, you know, maybe for 4 years, you've been looking at houses on the market and Property Pal or whatever. But you just, there's this one house, and the second you see it, I know that's the one. You're, it could be in anything, in any situation in life. You just have this light bulb moment where a switch goes and you go, I don't know how, but I know, and people can't talk you out of it. People can't dissuade you, because, and you go, I can't make sense. They go, how do you know? I don't know how I know, but I know that I know that I know. That's a knower. And it can feel a little intuitive at times. It can feel a little dogmatic at times, but it's the Holy Spirit. There's times when you just know something and you don't... Like, have you ever even had a conversation with someone maybe who's not a Christian and they're challenging you about something? You say something and you're like, I have no idea where that came from. Like, I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you knew something you didn't know before. In Matthew 9:4, we read this. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your heart? He knew their thoughts. In that moment, he knew something he hadn't known before. He perceived their thoughts. He had a supernatural intuition. That's kind of what I was doing in the middle of the service. I was saying, Holy Spirit, who do you want me to pray for? And I just knew. I can't tell you how I knew in those moments. There were different ways, but I just knew, pray for people with migraines. And there were certain things where I sensed we were to pray for people. It's just a knowing. I was actually looking at a memory came up on my phone this morning, actually, from this Sunday 4 years ago, where it was the last, it was February 20th, actually, 2020. And I was up in, for you, I'll say Londonderry. For some of you in the room, I'll say Derry. I was up at El Derry, and I was speaking in a church, and on the Sunday night, I was doing ministry. I'd spoken a little bit, and I was doing some prophetic ministry, and I just first of all, the first thing that happened was a date came into my head, and I said the date, and it was a couple's wedding anniversary, and that was simply God highlighting them, and I said, okay, God has highlighted you as a couple. There's something for you as a couple. I'll speak to you after the service. And they stood before me. I didn't know anyone in this church except the senior pastor, who was a friend of mine, and they stood in front of me, and I just knew in that moment that he was going to lead the church. Now, my friend is the senior pastor, so that's a little bit awkward, okay? So I've got to word that carefully. Because my friend is the minister, but I've got a guy and his wife standing in front of me, and I feel that they're going to lead the church. How did I know? I didn't hear a voice. I didn't feel anything. I just knew. And so I talked about, I tried to word it and phrase it in such a way that I wouldn't offend my friend. And I sense that God is going to put you increasingly in leadership. And I put it like that, and God's going to move you, and you're going to... He was a chef, I think, at the time, and his name's John. And I, as a couple, you're going to be just become more prominent in the church. And last year, my friend stood down from being the senior pastor, and John is now the senior pastor of that church. How did I know? I don't know, but I knew. Because the Holy Spirit knew, and he was just giving me a knowing in that moment. Hearers, so that's knowers. Some of you can identify with that. Next one is hearers. Hearers hear God speak in words, sentences, and phrases. You just hear, it's not an audible voice, 99.9. I have never heard the audible voice of God in my life. It's an internal, inaudible voice. But you just hear a word, you hear a little phrase, there's something, and one of the most helpful things I ever learned was this. When God speaks to you, it sounds very much like your thoughts, but it's a thought you wouldn't normally have had. That will change some of your lives, because when I grasped that, I always thought when people said God spoke to me, I'm like, I never hear God speak, because I thought it would be like, Craig, go talk to that person. God never speaks to me. In the Old Testament, God may have spoken at times like that. Where does the Holy Spirit live now? Remember, he lives inside you. And so when the Holy Spirit speaks, he's going to speak internally. And it's going to be, you remember where Elijah heard this still, small voice. It's going to be like a whisper inside. It's going to be a little thought that comes into your head. Why don't you call Jane? Why don't you have a word with somebody? Why don't you send a message? Why don't you? And it's just like, where did that thought? I wasn't even thinking about them. That was just like the furthest thing from my mind. But the Holy Spirit gives you a little thought. It's a word. Or a little sentence comes into your head. Sometimes you could be listening to a song and a phrase jumps out. One of the ways God's been speaking to me quite a lot recently is I wake up and there's a lyrics of a song in my head. And it's a song like sometimes from the 70s or the 80s. And I haven't even thought about it at all. And then I look it up and I look up the lyrics and I'm like, oh my goodness, I had no idea that was in the lyrics, and it speaks to me very clearly. It's phrases, it's words, it's sentences. That's how God speaks to some of you. We see this in 1 Samuel, where the Lord calls Samuel. Remember, three times before, we all know the story. And Samuel says, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And he does that three times, and eventually Eli catches on to what's happening here and says, if that happens again, go back into your room and say, here I am, Lord, your servant's listening to you. You know what I love about that story? Is that one, that God kept speaking three times until Samuel figured out who it was. That's how much God wants to get through to us. And two, God's voice sounded normal. Why did he keep running into Eli? Because it sounded like a familiar voice. I'd never picked up on that until very recently. If it had been some big booming voice from heaven, he would have known it wasn't Eli. But it sounded like a normal, familiar voice. And God kept speaking until he got through. A hearer as they go about their day, God will just interrupt them at times with little words, little phrases, little sentences, little lines from a song. And a hearer will say something like, I felt God say, or I sensed God speak this. And it tends to be, it doesn't need a lot of interpretation. Like I said, that's the way God most often speaks to me. So there's knowers, there's hearers, just two more. Third one is this, it's a feeler. Please don't go around the church or anywhere else saying, I'm a feeler. Okay, that's where the trustees have to get involved. But feelers tend to feel the emotions of God. You know, our God is a God who has emotions. It talks about do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Our God is a God who has emotions. And God sometimes expresses his emotions through you. And sometimes you will meet someone and you will have been feeling really fine, you'll be feeling happy, and you meet someone and you just feel grief all of a sudden, or you feel loss, or you feel pain part of your body and you didn't have pain before. Sometimes that's God speaking to you. And the person could have a smile, but God's telling you they're going through grief, they're going through loss. You're feeling the emotions of God, the heart of God towards that person, and he wants you to express his heart. Feelers tend to be creative. They tend to be intercessors at times. They're the ones who labor in prayer. They get burdened. Remember when Nehemiah heard that the walls, it says, I wept and wept and I prayed. Feelers are people who feel things intensely. They're burdened by things that other people really don't care about that much. Sometimes feelers will just think that they're over-emotional, and sometimes people are over-emotional, but just be aware of shutting down those emotions so much, if they're part of the personality that God has given you, that he wants to express his own emotions through you. I remember, I'm going to keep going, actually, I need to finish. There was an example of that, but I'm going to leave it. And the last one is seers. Seers, like it says, tend to be more visual. They get pictures. They have dreams. They have visions. They're more visual. They see things. The people who wake up and say, I had this really bizarre dream last night, and then the next night they have another one. There are people who keep saying, I got this little snapshot. I was just going about my day, and I got this little picture of something. And they're very visual images. They tend to see the world not as it is, but as how it should be. And they're expressive and creative individuals. They tend to be pretty certain of what God has shown them. When you get a picture, when you get a vision, when you get a dream, you just know this is God. Back in 2017, when we were first asked to move here we at first we politely declined. We just didn't think it was what God was calling us to. And so I think it was around maybe June, July 2017, we were asked, look, would you, we need a minister, would you consider coming to Hope? And we just said, look, we don't think we're the people, but thank you, but keep on looking. And almost from that day forward, something shifted in both of us. And God began to whisper to us, keep that option open. And we began over a period of a few weeks to pray into it more and sense, maybe God, this is where you're leading us. This is where you're opening a door for us. But during this time, Becky kept saying to me, Craig, I had another dream last night. And I'd like be like, and she was like, yeah, I kept seeing a white house with a tree house. And she'd be like, I was praying this morning and Craig, I saw a white house with a tree house. Now, Becky has like pictures and visions and every like, I mean, she has lots of them. So I, quite honestly, I probably rolled my eyes a little bit at the time. And I didn't take them that seriously until our friends, Matt and Catherine, who I'd went to school with, put on Facebook, we're moving to New Zealand for a year. I keep saying a white house with a tree house. I didn't know anyone with a white house with a tree house. Our friends, Matt and Catherine, say we're going to New Zealand for a year. And they post on Facebook, does anyone want to rent our house for a year? And here is the picture that they put on Facebook. A white house, and they had just built a big tree house out the front. That is actually taken from the Facebook post that they put on in 2017. And I showed that. I said, oh, Matt and Catherine, they're heading to New Zealand. And Becky went, that's the house I keep seeing. And that's the tree house. And we can take that down. But that was the final, that was one of the final confirmations. There were many more, but for us, that was one of the confirmations that God was leading us here. Was through pictures and visions and dreams. Jeremiah, it says this, Jeremiah 1. You may have to backtrack one slide there. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, he replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly. Now, when we talk about visions and stuff, I tend to think of really elaborate stuff. I love that Jeremiah says, I see a branch. And God says, that's it. That's all I'm showing you. Then he says, what else do you see? He says, I see a boiling pot from the north. And that's it. That's where God starts Jeremiah, and then his visions and dreams get more and more elaborate as the book goes on. But I love that. I see a branch of a tree. That's me, God says. Like some of you would go, I see, I can do that. Maybe you're the next Jeremiah. There's many examples of seers in the Bible. We don't have time to go into them today, but here's where I want to finish this. And the band can come up. Sorry, this could have been, I wrote a book on this. Not a shameless plug, but I could have talked for 4 more hours on it. This is one of my favorite subjects to speak on, and so I've had to sift through. But here's what I want to say. We are living through unusual times. We're living through times of turbulence, upheaval, chaos, and change. We know that. But here's what I discovered when I look at the Old Testament prophets. They were living through unusual times. They were living through turbulent times, times of chaos, times of exile for the people of God, times of persecution, times of oppression. God speaks most frequently and most clearly when God's people are under pressure and when the world is in turbulence. And what that says to me is that God really wants to communicate to his people, to his church, to his faithful followers. He wants to express his heart. He wants to give you direction and clarity. He wants to remind you of his love and his care. He wants to show you what might lie ahead. And he wants to give you confidence and courage to face the future. A.W. Tozer, the famous preacher, once said this, a scared world needs a fearless church. And our world is getting increasingly scared. And the church needs to get increasingly fearless. And how do we do that? We build our lives on the Word of God, the written Word of God, but we also discern the voice of God, however he wants to speak to us, so that we can sense what he's doing in a given situation, and so that we can be people who speak words of strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So that we can be God's voice. And ultimately the goal is to introduce people to the God who knows them and loves them.